Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
Introducing the all-new MLB Plus, your ticket to streaming baseball's best.
Let's go!
Enjoy MLB Network 24/7 with live out-of-market games and award-winning shows. Enhanced game nights with MLB Big Inning, live and commercial-free. And hear live home and away radio broadcasts of every game, blackout-free. Even stream minor league games all season. It's all here and it's all new. Get MLB Plus for just $59.99 a year. Visit MLB.com/MLBPlus.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, presented by your local Hyundai dealers. This is Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station. 670 The Score is Chicago Sports. Chicago Sports is The Score. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. Always live on the free Odyssey app.
The Score!
Now it's time for Inside the Clubhouse, a show dedicated to the Chicago baseball fan, featuring the best Chicago baseball conversation, as well as the big MLB topics, along with the biggest names, greatest guests, and listener interaction, starring Score baseball insider Bruce Levine and half of Chicago's number one sports morning show, David Haw, on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, and always live on the free Odyssey app, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
Good Saturday morning, Chicago. Welcome back inside the clubhouse right here at 670 The Score and your free Odyssey app, broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios. I am David Haw, along with Bruce Levine, talking baseball again until 11 o'clock, doing our first show of 2023. No more waiting till next year, Bruce, because next year is here. Good morning.
Happy 2023 to you, David, and all of our great Chicago baseball fan listeners and all across the country who listen to this show. And we are gratified by all of that. Now going into just another year of baseball talk every Saturday, 52 weeks out of the year. Last year, only 51, right, David?
Well, amen, you know. Bruce. And you say gratified. I'm gratified to take a two-hour interruption and pause from talking about Justin Fields and the Bears.
Yeah, Justin Fields, the greatest running quarterback in the history of the NFL. We can do a segment on that, whether or not he's going to be traded because of the fact that he's either...
Or not.
In the Bears' mind, he's either a flanker or wide receiver or a kick returner, so...
None of the above, Bruce. Let's take a pause from that. We'll get phone calls other ways because we want to talk to you, the audience. We have a lot going on this week. We'll recap the biggest moves, Bruce. And we also have the Cubs convention next Friday. It kicks off. We want to get people involved. What are you looking forward to in going to the Cubs convention? And if you're a Sox fan, how disappointed are you that your team doesn't have one? And do you understand the reasons why they have been expressed? 312-644-6767.
Yeah, it's the first convention since the Cubs convention in 2020, I believe. Or did we not have that one? I'm thinking back. It might be 2019, the last one, because of COVID. And that has really changed the dynamic of the offseason for both teams who usually gear up, as far as the momentum toward spring training, the momentum toward the baseball season. And, you know, we go back to when this was created by John McDonough and Jay Blunk back in 1985, the first fan fest ever was created by those two guys back at that time. And it was the original idea of a guy by the name of Jeff Odenwald, who was a marketing guy for the Cubs and was taken a step further, and that became the first ever fan fest. And you know, we see where all the teams go for now. But I guess the question today, David, is it more prudent to have one or not have one? as the Cubs are going to have their convention next week. And the White Sox, from the beginning in the offseason, said that out of concern for COVID and that returning and worries about super spreading, they were not going to have theirs this year.
So those are peripheral issues, I think, worth discussing and getting your input from. 312-644-6767. Bruce, on the field, there was news this week, the first one of the year, a lot of teams catching up and introducing free agents, the Sox. I think let's start right there, because the biggest news, I think, this week in Chicago baseball was the introduction of the most expensive free agent in White Sox history. Andrew Benintendi was introduced at 35th and Shields. He will wear number 23. Not as an ode to Jermaine Dye or a slight to Ryan Sandberg, Michael Jordan, or Devin Hester. He will wear 23 because his sister wore 32 when he wanted to transpose the numbers. I like that story. He made a good, strong first impression, Bruce. What did you hear from the press conference that made you either encouraged or that you something that you didn't know before?
Well, first and foremost, the relationship between Grifol and Benintendi. Having been in Kansas City together, having a mutual respect for each other, and the White Sox, you know, counting on Grifol's advice as well, although they admitted during the press conference and the day before when Rick Hahn had his meeting with the media that indeed the White Sox had been chasing Benintendi in many different forms, including the draft going back years. So from all of that, David, I got the idea that we weren't looking at a left-handed hitting outfielder like Benintendi initially. I think we mentioned it about a month ago and we kept talking about it a little bit that he made sense for the White Sox, but people were looking for more slug type left-handed hitter for the White Sox, and the White Sox reversed it. Now they have a guy that can bat anywhere in the order, in the top of the order, and be more of that on-base percentage guy that has been missing at the top. You know, Anderson gets all of his on-base percentage from his batting average. He doesn't walk. So now that gives Grifol the flexibility to bat Benintendi at the top of the order if he wants to. He can bat him first, second, ideally, you know, maybe fifth, sixth, anywhere that he feels it works on a given day. And having that left-handed bat with on-base percentage, I think, is a different way that the White Sox are looking at building their offense and looking at producing runs in a different way than they have over the past 3 or 4 years.
I agree with that in terms of being a strength and an asset for Benintendi and giving him that kind, giving them that kind of pop at the top in terms of getting on base and being a disciplined hitter. I do wonder, though, Bruce, you don't overpay. You're going to overpay in free agency as a rule, but I think that when you make the kind of investment the White Sox made in Benintendi, you're making a statement. And as the offensive numbers speak for themselves, but I do think this seems like about a nod to defense. The White Sox have to get better in the outfield. That was one of the biggest weaknesses in terms of just overall defensive lapses that contributed to too many losses. Benintendi shores that up, and it allows people to play at their more natural positions, and this is all part of an offseason initiative, if you want to call it that. Maybe that's overstating it, but I think just to improve the defense, and this is a huge step in that direction.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, David. Run prevention is going to be so different now that there's no shifting, okay? So you have to have true defensive players at positions, okay? Shifting, especially against left-handed hitters, took away the worries about people having enough range in their positions because they were bunched up and they were limiting the damage that some of these left-handed hitters do. Now, with no shifting, you have to have true position players all the way around, especially at second and shortstop range-wise, and especially in right field. I think Colas is going to be the first guy they turn to over there. But Benintendi, as you said, David, can play all the positions. I'm not so sure I'm worried about this contract being the highest free agent contract in the history of the White Sox, because if you go back 9 years now, almost 10, the White Sox signed Jose Abreu to a $68 million contract. And if you look at money now compared to that. That was their biggest contract ever at that point. When you look at this contract at $75 million 10 years later, you see, well, that's only an average of $15 million a year for 5 years. It's relative chump change, David, right now paying him. I mean, the Cubs are going to have a center fielder that hits 200 and hit 16 and drove in 66 that's going to make more money in 2023 than Benintendi is going to make.
Bruce, I know it's been a long week for me, but I still think that when I count on my hands, fingers and toes, 75 is still greater than 68, correct?
10 years later,
but
the value
I'm not factoring
of
in inflation.
Dollar?
I'm not factoring in the cost of living increases on the South Side. I'm just looking at numbers, and the numbers tell me that Benintendi is the richest contract in White Sox free agent history. Correct?
Yeah, and which what was the one before that? That was only a couple years ago, and it was
Grandal.
Yeah, right. So the richest contracts in history for most teams, like the Mets and Giants, who almost gave $300 million to Correa, usually goes to superstars, right?
Exactly. That's what makes this one very interesting. Yeah.
In the case of the White Sox, they have their superstars in their mind locked up to free agent contracts from years ago with Eloy and Anderson still being under contract and, Mancata being under contract, Robert. Those contracts look great right now compared to where the marketplace is going. I mean, the White Sox have that money spread out much, much, much more than many teams with star players because they were ahead of this crunch that took everything from $15 million to $30 million within a few short years.
That's a good point, Bruce. And speaking of role players, let's switch the topics to the Cubs. They were busy this week as well, introducing their new defensive-minded catcher, Austin Barnhart. And you look at also Eric Hosmer. I don't think they introduced him this week, but that certainly was announced. Hosmer and Barnhart. Barnhart is the catcher behind the plate, the former Red and Tiger, staying in the Midwest. And it sounds like, Bruce, we talked about the compliment to Yan Gomes. They're going to split duties, and when you talk about a commitment to defense, how strong does that now make the Cubs up the middle?
Well, it remains to be seen about Barnhart. He had his worst defensive year last year of his career. He was a negative in runs saved at his position after being a Gold Glover 2 years in a row. But, during his press conference, David, he admitted that he learned a lot from a year where he was not a good player and that he feels that he's learned and he's going to be a better player this year. But you're right, the split from what they talked about is going to be 50-50 with him and Gomes. And I think that gives a lot of comfort to Jed Hoyer and David Ross and the Chicago Cubs that they're going to have two good defenders that know what fingers to put down in their mind and that they're going to be a strength to this team. And as Barnhart said, David, he doesn't want the pitchers to think about who's behind there because he feels that whether it's him or Gomes, it's going to be seamless the way the games are going to be called and the way the defense is going to set up behind the plate.
And I called him Austin. I think I made that mistake. His name is Tucker Barnhart, of course, and I was thinking of somebody else, and I should know that, Bruce, because he is an Indiana native, and I have memorized the names and backgrounds of all Indiana natives in the major leagues. He's a Brownsburg, Indiana native, and he has come up through Major League Baseball and acquitted himself well for all the Hoosiers that are proud of him.
312-644-6767. The conventions are no conventions, no Sox Fest this year, Cub Convention next week. Your thoughts on that? 312-644-6767 on anything baseball that David and I will be talking about. They're always open to you on Inside the Clubhouse.
Before we get out to the Score listener line, Bruce, I want to ask you one question. The Hosmer addition, what does that do to the Trey Mancini possibility?
Well, I think it limits it. They're different players in the sense that one's a left-hander, one's a right-hander. Hosmer exclusively a first baseman. Mancini can play different positions. But, you know, as we heard, their conversations with Mancini broke down over the contract cost. Apparently the Cubs felt they were asking for too much. In the case of Hosmer right now, excuse me, David, in the case of Hosmer, you have a veteran first baseman that gives you a lot of protection for Matt Mervis, who they want to bring up and try to put on the 26-man roster going into the regular season. Mervis, a first baseman, DH. But here's the thing that I'm most concerned about. In Mervis's case, regardless of whether it's at AAA, David, or DH or first base for the Cubs, he has to play every day. He's a young player. He cannot sit on the bench. So if David Ross cannot figure out a situation where Hosmer doesn't impact Mervis's at-bats, he can be a DH against right-handers. He can play first base. But there's no moving Hosmer to another position. There's no talk about Mervis playing any other position. So at-bats for Mervis are my number one concern going into the year, considering what he did in the minor leagues. And we're going to talk to Jared Banner, who is the director of the minor leagues for the Chicago Cubs, in our next segment about Mervis and the plan going forward. So I will be interested to hear from him about that. But again, I think having Hosmer, David, is a no-lose situation. If he doesn't have anything left, you know, you say farewell. If he does, he brings an awful lot to the team on the field and a tremendous amount of leadership and ability to comport yourself as a professional player from his previous stops in Kansas City and San Diego.
Jared Banner, the Cubs vice president in charge of player development, joins us at the bottom of the hour. Next hour, we're going to play Chin Music and a little Chicago Bound, some of our favorite segments. But right now, it's your turn. The Score listener line is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Let's go out to Mike and Glencoe. Good morning, Mike. Welcome inside the clubhouse.
Good morning, fellas. Happy Saturday and great to be talking baseball with you. Bruce, as to your first question about Sox Fest and the decision to cancel, that was just cowardice. There's just no way to get around it. They did not want to face the fans. I don't think anybody buys the health argument, even though it would make sense under normal circumstances. My particular question to you is that I was very interested to see Han acknowledging, at least indirectly, that second and right remain concerns and that they're going to try and address them. But my question is, how badly are the Sox hobbled by their very limited farm system? It seems that they have years of gaps in the development process. They invested, as you know, heavily in high school pitching, and that seems to have blown up in their face. Now, are they aware, do they believe that they have a problem, or am I just seeing something that doesn't exist here?
Thanks,
yeah,
Mike.
You know, again, and thanks for your call, Mike. It's always good to hear from you. David, I'll throw it to you. They missed out on two Oakland pitchers last year. They missed out on an Oakland catcher this year because they weren't able to match up to what expectations were for Oakland. Now, that doesn't make the White Sox farm system bad. What it does, it makes it a bit limited, and Oakland is always looking for multiple prospects in any trade because that's how they roll. They roll with guys get to arbitration, and they get rid of them. That was the case with Murphy, the catcher who ends up in Atlanta and signing a long-term deal there. So that doesn't make the White Sox system necessarily bad, but it has hampered them from making deals with Oakland that they had players that the White Sox were definitely interested in, not able to pull the trigger.
Bruce, those players from the A's were the car the White Sox couldn't afford. And you drive by a lot and you see something that, boy, that would look good in my driveway. And then you look at your bank account and you think, well, I can't manage that. And when the White Sox were shopping for Frankie Montas and Sean Manaea, and they were looking at Sean Murphy, boy, they would have looked great on the South Side. And then they looked at their farm system, as Mike points out correctly, and they just didn't have the assets to be able to pull that off because the A's wanted more. And who could blame them? Because they got more. You look at the Braves with the haul they gave up for Sean Murphy. You look at what the Yankees gave up for Montas, and I think that, yes, that is a valid point that has limited the White Sox in terms of their ability to acquire major league talent to get them back into the position where they don't have as many weaknesses as we saw exposed and exploited during the regular season, a disappointing year in 2022. Let's squeeze in a phone call before we break. Frank is in Lombard. Good morning, Frank. Welcome inside the clubhouse.
Good morning, guys. I love talking to you guys on a weekend rather than during the week. That was a very good call just now. He's a little more technical than me. I'm a little more blunt out of pure frustration. You know, my family's had season tickets. I'm 43 since before I was born. Same section, 134, above the Sox dugout, row 17, lifelong fans, blah, 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 blah. I don't know who I want to sell the team more, the Reinsdorfs or the McCaskies. Okay, that's the point I've come to. And he hit the nail on the head, a cowardly action, something that diehard fans do look forward to. Traditions. My dad used to bring me when I was a kid. I would love to bring my 9-year-old who loves baseball to a Sox convention. But no, the fans aren't stupid. They're doing it because they don't want to face the heat. They're banking on past signings. They're banking on Mancada, who I don't care what he was praised as. I don't talk ill of anyone. He's not what he was expected to be.
Thanks for the phone call, Frank. Two different things there. The Mancada disappointment we can address later, Bruce, but he is very upset. Like we heard from some Sox fans, not getting the chance to go to a convention this year to air their grievances, if you will.
Again, the White Sox made their decision, I believe, before they hired Pedro Grifol, okay? So this was something that they made very stealthily and quickly after the regular season. Now, if you want to say that it's, you know, cowardice and that they don't want to face the music, I don't know. In the past, I think the passion from the White Sox fans and from Rick Hahn and his sessions when things weren't working right, and Kenny Williams in his sessions when things weren't working out right. Some of the beauty of White Sox baseball has been all about. I agree with that. But they've never backed away from that. They kind of embrace that. Kenny Williams and Rick Hahn have, you know, turned into guys that, you know, they know they're going into the ring during the convention. They know they have their 8-ounce gloves on. They are ready to go head-to-head with White Sox fans and embrace the passion of the White Sox nation. So I don't think it has to do with that. I just don't. I just think that they do have some trepidation about COVID coming back. The reality is COVID has come back. And if you're listening out there, and I know you are, because we have great numbers and we have great fans, the COVID numbers are higher. Is COVID more controllable now when it breaks out? Depending on the person, sure. Okay, I don't want to get into the doctor end of it. All I want to say is the Cubs are moving forward with it. The White Sox aren't. But I don't think there's cowardice when it comes to the White Sox. I've never seen it before. I've never seen them back away from facing Sox Nation. They embrace Sox Nation.
As one of our loyal listeners points out via the text line, 312, the Cubs convention starts on Friday the 13th. Hope that's not a bad omen for the season ahead. So we'll continue the conversation, talking White Sox, talking Cubs, and next when we come back, we'll talk Cubs player development with the Vice President of Player Development for the Chicago Cubs, Jared Banner, right here on Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Real skin results start with one daily ritual. Meet Daily Microfoliant from Dermalogica. This iconic exfoliating powder activates with water to gently polish away dullness and uneven texture. It leaves skin instantly smoother and more luminous while supporting your skin barrier. Formulated with professional expertise to deliver visible results daily, even on sensitive skin. Discover your healthiest skin today. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at checkout for an exclusive gift with your $65 purchase.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane.
Youch. Did he have any hot sauce?
Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
Introducing the all-new MLB Plus, your ticket to streaming baseball's best.
Let's go!
Enjoy MLB Network 24/7 with live out-of-market games and award-winning shows. Enhance game nights with MLB Big Inning, live and commercial-free. And hear live home and away radio broadcasts of every game, blackout-free. Even stream minor league games all season. It's all here and it's all new. Get MLB Plus for just $59.99 a year. Visit MLB.com/MLB Plus.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haw on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. And always live on the free Odyssey app presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
Yeah, I feel great about the way things are going. You know, we're winning tons of games. I think we're third in the minor league in winning percentage. Our prospects are playing really well. Up and down the system, we have a lot of depth. And I think that, you know, that'll start to come up. You know, if year after year we can, you know, have good drafts, develop well, that will eventually, you know, matriculate its way up to the big leagues and have a huge impact. This year, we didn't quite have that, you know, that level to come up to the big leagues and help in the way we will in the future. But I think pretty soon it'll be the way it was going back to 2013, 14, 15, where every year there were multiple players coming up to the big leagues and making a huge impact. And you know, people should be excited to watch watch the minor leagues right now.
Welcome back inside the clubhouse. Thank you for spending your Saturday morning with us talking baseball here. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. David Haw, Bruce Levine until 11 o'clock. And that was the voice of Jed Hoyer, the Cubs team president, August 6th, right after the trade deadline, talking about the future because it's a bright one, Bruce, in Chicago for the Cubs. This is the best they felt about their minor league system since those years that Jed Hoyer referenced. We know what came next. When you look at the improvement, Bruce, in the Cubs front farm system, they have gone from 18th last year in terms of the MLB pipeline rankings to 10th. They are the fourth most improved farm system in baseball, according to those rankings. We're going to talk to Jared Banner, the vice president of player development, in a moment. But before we do, what's your opinion why the Cubs have been able to make those improvements in the way that they have?
Well, very much like they did the first time around when Epstein and Hoyer came in 2011 and 12, they have been tremendously impactful. They've made tremendously impactful trades, okay? And they've gotten really good talent. They got a bushel of talent in 2021 when they traded the Bryants and the Rizzos and the Baezes. That was a big haul, and that has changed everything around. Not only that, but the Cubs should also be lauded on the fact that pitching started to come around before this. They started to develop their own pitchers for the first time in 10 years. So with that combination of starting to develop and getting really good talent from outside of the organization, I think that's where we're at right now as far as the Cubs minor league system goes.
Time to go out to the Scores guest hotline, sponsored by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. And that is where we find somebody at the center of this progress, and that is the Cubs vice president in charge of player development, Jared Banner. Good morning, Jared. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
We were talking about the rankings and how much improvement those indicate the Cubs have made. I know they are just numbers, but you talk to the people and you see and measure the real results. In your words, how would you describe how far your farm system, your minor league system, has come in the past year?
I think we're improving every day, and that's our focus. That's our goal. We try not to focus much on the external publications, but I think they recognize the same thing, and we're really excited for what's to come this year. It's going to be a big year for us.
Good morning, Jared. And as we talked about multiple times during the summer after you were on last time, we're going to actually give you some time to talk about the Chicago Cubs today, because
perfect.
I think it was a short session last time, and you said, hey, that's it? That's all you have for me is 10 minutes? So we have ample time for you today, and we appreciate you coming on. when you look at the minor leagues as a whole, Jared, what is different about moving players forward, or is there a difference? Because now that the minor leagues are starting to shrink as far as destinations go, and Major League Baseball has looked at the minor leagues and said, hey, we need less teams and we need more progression of our young people, either toward a major league career or out of baseball. What do you think has changed over the last couple of years, if anything?
I think eliminating short season ball has had somewhat of an impact. It's just a pretty large jump from complex baseball. You're playing during the day mostly. There aren't many fans. And then jumping to full season baseball, the competition's better. There are more fans in the ballpark. There's more travel. It's like going from high school to professional baseball. It can be a pretty big jump. So that really stands out to me. Otherwise, I think it's just more competition. The timeline is a little shorter. You have to prove yourself in pretty short order. And fewer players, fewer teams, fewer opportunities across the board. And that's something that every team deals with. It's not just us. So, but our players are up to the challenge at all times.
So, Jared, when you look at the players that are on the cusp of contributing to the Major League's team, like Matt Mervis, maybe even Brennan Davis, and then you look at maybe the differences in their paths, somebody who was drafted high and developed throughout the system, somebody who was undrafted and taken through the ranks, how similar and different are the approaches with guys like that in terms of player development? And do you, or maybe is everything uniform and the same in the approach?
I think it's the same in the sense that we try to care for each and every player equally. We want to make sure we put time and invest in every single player we bring into our organization. I think the difference is the attention. Right, I think certain players have attention on them from the day they arrive, and other players are allowed to operate under the radar and don't really get the attention until they go out and hit 36 home runs. Right, but Mervis is someone that, for example, that we've always really liked and we've prioritized in our organization in the sense of acquiring him, and we aren't quite as surprised as everyone else. And there are a lot more guys like him in the organization that hopefully will become household names before long.
Staying on that theme, Jared, David and I were talking about, we are our own front office here on Inside the Clubhouse every Saturday. So we're projecting what the view is of Mervis and what he has to do. Do you think it's possible that he could be brought to the major league team and worked in slowly, or is this a guy that, whether it's at the major league level at DH or first base, or at the minor league level at AAA, honing his skills, he has to play and he has to hit every day?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think there's always that balance, right? What's best for the major league team versus what's best for any individual player's development. And I can't answer that for Mervis at this time. We have to see how things play out, both for him personally and for the team. But our goal is to make sure he's getting better each and every day so that when his number is called, he's ready to contribute and help the Cubs win games.
Talking with Jared Banner, the Cubs vice president in charge of player development here on Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Okay, Jared, Pete Crow Armstrong, Cubs fans could have driven 90 miles east and seen him this past summer in South Bend. I know that he was close to Chicago, but how close is he to Chicago? How close do you think that a guy like that, who is, according to the rankings, the number one prospect in the system, and we see all kinds of examples, maybe people are being rushed to the majors, maybe not, but it doesn't seem like the apprenticeship is as long as it used to be. Where are the Cubs with PCA?
Well, like Mervis, it's very similar in the sense that we just want to prepare him for whatever's next and whatever's coming. And he's obviously a really dynamic player. He's an unbelievable athlete. And most importantly, he works incredibly hard at his craft, and guys like that you can't put any limits on. So we expect he's going to have a great season ahead, and I know he expects that of himself. And when you're playing good baseball, anything's possible, and the sky's the limit.
Jared Banner, I guess, the vice president of minor leagues for the Chicago Cubs, and a guy that has a vast amount of experience in major leagues as far as player personnel and minor league players. With that experience in mind, Jared, you spent many years, over 10 years with Boston. You've been with the Cubs now for a while. What do you see that is similar about the Cubs and Red Sox fan bases and their desire to see their young players promoted and being a part of their major league systems?
Yeah, two unbelievable fan bases. I'd say the thing that jumps out is just the knowledge that some of our fans have. It's really incredible. Sometimes I'm on Twitter, and I'm really impressed that the fans are thinking right along the same lines that we are, and every now and again they come up with some ideas that you know I hadn't even thought of in many cases. So it's wonderful to work in great baseball towns like these, especially Chicago, and it's been a pleasure so far. So I'm actually really looking forward to Cubs convention coming up to be around some of the fans.
Oh, I'm sure you'll hear some ideas. They're going to want you to lead off PCA and bat Mervis fourth and start Hayden Wesneski on opening day. I mean, the prospects get people excited. You know that, and you see the Cubs rankings, and there's reasons for hope. And I think that one of the publications referred to this collection of talent as exciting in terms of youth as any since before the World Series run. And so that's the kind of expectations you know you're walking into this season. That's kind of the fun part. A couple health updates, if you will. Alex Canario, I think, has been a guy coming off an injury. Brennan Davis is a guy who ran into health complications, as well as Ed Howard. Could you talk about those three prospects, where they are health-wise, and what that did to their development?
Yeah, so Ed is he's just starting to hit in the cage. I was actually with him yesterday down in Arizona. He looks great. The hip is feeling good. So he's just in his progression. A very serious injury, but we expect him to be ready to go for the beginning of spring training without any limitations. So we're really excited about that. And of course, missing the half a season that he missed, there's a little bit of time to make up for, but I think he is still extremely young, extremely athletic, and he's used this time really wisely in terms of trying to improve his game in other ways. So really excited about him. Was just with Brennan Davis also. He will be a full go going into camp. He is just working out every day, building himself back up. Looks great. He was just hitting with Cody Bellinger on the field recently. So he's awesome. And then Canario, he's a little bit behind the other two guys. He's not going to be ready to start the season. I know you guys saw his shoulder and leg injury that he suffered. They, you know, they're pretty tough at surgery on both. So he's going to be out for a little while longer.
Jared, philosophically, the dumbing down of offense in Major League Baseball, does that change the way that you look at whether players are ready or not for the major leagues for your minor league players? In other words, when you sit down with the rest of the front office and you say, look, we might have a Pete Crow Armstrong. He might not be ready offensively, but defensively, he's as good as what we have, base running wise and maturity. He's ready for the major leagues. Even if he hits 230 or 240, that's league average. Should we promote him to the major leagues? I'm wondering if that's part of a philosophical change now that hitting for average is not really the end-all and be-all to getting a player to the major league.
I think two things there. Firstly, we will, at some point when the time is right, sit down and have that exact conversation. So that conversation hasn't happened yet, and I think it varies from player to player, as well as depending on the situation. But in terms of performance, we look at everything or most things relative to a player's competition and a player's level. So it'll be more than performance. It'll be about things like a player's swing decisions, his ability to do damage when he does make contact, and his ability to make contact in general, right? His end zone whip rates, things of that nature. So we try to stay more process oriented than result oriented when it comes to development.
Jared, when you look at the past draft, there's an undeniable emphasis on pitching infrastructure, pitching prospects. And I just wondered if you are in the midst of that and you're in those meetings. And I want to hear you articulate what makes the Cubs so confident in their pitching infrastructure and ability to develop those arms to the point where it seems as if they are leaning more into drafting pitchers, developing pitchers, because maybe you guys know something someone else doesn't, or maybe you just feel stronger about that ability than something else. What is it about your belief in the pitching infrastructure in your organization that makes you think that all these young arms are going to be, you're going to be able to develop them?
I think it's the people. I really do think it's the high quality, intelligent, creative people we have. Craig Breslow leads that department. But also guys like Casey Jacobson and James Ogden, obviously Tommy Hottovy up in the big leagues. We just have a lot of Daniel Moskos. We just have a lot of really smart people coming from different backgrounds, collaborating, putting their heads together to create a really strong infrastructure. And it's been really fun to watch. And I learn a ton spending time with those guys as well. There's always something new to learn. And also, just touching on that, a lot of it has to do with the great work done by Dan Kantrovitz and Louis Ohao going out and scouring the earth for talent. They really bring us some really great balls of clay, and it's our job to get the best out of them. So it's a combination of all those things, but I really think it starts with the people we have in place here.
Jared, David and I appreciate your time very much. I'm hoping that we ask some good questions this time and that it will return to the show next time. Is there one question that we didn't ask you that we should have asked before we let you go? And thank you again for coming on with us.
I think you guys touched on everything today. This was great. Thank you for having me. I'll come back anytime.
Thanks, Jared. Right, appreciate Jared, the time. You. Jared Banner, the Cubs vice president in charge of player development, joining us here on Inside the Clubhouse. When we come back, Trevor Bauer, both facing different kinds of messes, but both facing very uncertain situations. We will address both of those guys when we come back. It's Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haw.
I go to the mall and I go to the Dior store and I want something, I get it. I ask how much it costs and I buy it. So if you really want something, just go get it. So I'm the product here, and if they want my product, you know, they just gotta come get it.
Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score, David Hall, Bruce Levine. That was Carlos Correa, the free agent shortstop, still no team that has signed him officially. Mets are in on him after the Giants gave up on him because of the failed physical, and the Twins apparently are still in the mix. Bruce, I would be likely to take a chance on Carlos Correa at a reduced rate if I were a team that wants to win now, sooner rather than later. That's one big story around baseball. The other involves Trevor Bauer, cut loose by the Dodgers. They're on the hook for $22.5 million, but Trevor Bauer, given his past, what led to his suspension for the last 190 games or so, he now can pitch again. I would steer clear of him. I would not want him as part of my organization. I don't care how good of a pitcher he is. Stay away. So I have very different opinions on these two guys whose names are big ones and whose stories are dominant across Major League Baseball this week.
Well, David, I think the Correa thing is, you know, he's still worth $30 million a year, but many less years. I don't think anybody wants to get near that 10, 11, 12-year situation with a guy, even though he's only 29 years old, that has the medical community looking at these medicals, it was said, hey, this could be a problem in the future for you as far as getting the worth out of the player. So I think teams are going to be offering 5-6 year deals just like the Cubs did a year ago. We're willing to go 5 or 6 years with the guy and no more. Unfortunately for him, that's the situation. He's not going to get, I don't think, anywhere near 10 years. He might get 10 years this way, David. He
right.
might get 10 years by a 6-year deal with options for 3 or 4 more years as it goes along.
Bruce, you suggested that last offseason about the Cubs talking to him about this kind of a structured deal so you wouldn't be on the hook so much for the long term, maybe related to the injury, but I think that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, especially the back. Now, with Bauer, we don't know how good he is now that there's not tact. He got the most out of tact on baseballs of anybody. His spin rate was the highest among any pitcher in baseball. Now that that's not there, the question might not be philosophically, can we have this guy in the organization? It might be, hey, he might not be that good anymore 2 years down the line.
It would not matter to me. It would not matter to me.
I understand. I understand.
And I know, and I'm not suggesting you are, but like, there's got to be a point in time where, as an organization, you put your foot down and you say, we are not going to bring somebody like that into our organization. I don't care how good his spin rate is. I don't care how different of a pitcher he is or isn't. Or we're going to draw the line.
It's a public baseball is a public trust owned by individuals. Okay, we know that. Public trust means that if this guy walks into a ballpark and women's groups are picketing all the time, not only women's groups, just groups in general, look at the violence involved in this quote-unquote consensual relationship between the player and the person that was injured. It's one of those where you just say, it's just not worth it, right, David? It's just not going to be worth it.
I think you're exactly right, Bruce, and I understand that you can point out examples of every team in Chicago that has made concession, that has maybe winked and nodded their way to signing somebody, trading for somebody. The Cubs may not have a World Series victory had they not acquired Aroldis Chapman. And you had to hold your nose through that introductory press conference, and sometimes it was cringeworthy when he was on the mound. But you know what? They did that. They justified that. They rationalized that. I just think that every case is different, and this case with Trevor Bauer is a bridge too far. I just would not make that concession, and I don't care how good of a pitcher he is.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you. I just don't think teams will do that. That said, it's hard to defend, but I guess the guy still has a right to go out there and make a living, and if there's somebody out there that wants to sign him, good for them. But I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, let's lighten things up, Bruce, because you know what? That just got heavy real fast. And we want to get back to baseball talk, Chicago baseball talk. And I liked what I heard from the new White Sox manager this week, Pedro Grifol. But I don't know. Did he go a little far in establishing who he's going to be? We're going to play a little chin music next, and we'll find out what you think. 312-644-6767. Until 11 o'clock, we're talking baseball right here and inside the clubhouse. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's identity refreshing!
From high school baseball to the men's NCAA College World Series to MLB. And all the way to the National Baseball Hall of Fame. How will you make your mark in MLB The Show 26? Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.